So the first item on the agenda is just for information, and this is just any of the work that's underway in the charter school office is provided via the written report. We do have Kim Klein, Associate Secretary Operations Support Department of Education on the line. I think she's on the line versus in person. She is going to be able to give us some updates and address any questions that we up there. She is. Okay, sorry, I couldn't find you on my screen. I'm going to say that we do have a section for the new charter school applications, the major modifications. So please don't ask questions about those in this section because we're going to have them covered in the next section. So anything else about the report that you wanted to run past, Kim? Okay, I'm going to take that silence as no questions on the report that was provided.
Could I make a comment?
Of course.
I don't have a question, but I was just glad to see that the numbers of certified teachers in Great Oaks is increasing. That was good. They refer to their enrollment count and that condition. Do we know what their current enrollment count is for that April condition that we're looking at?
Dr. Noble, I don't as we sit here today, but certainly next month we'll really begin monitoring that.
Okay.
We could take a look at where they are and let you know tomorrow, but
that's okay. I was just wondering it because I know that's going to be coming up, but yeah, I was glad to see the number of certified teachers is going up. That's very good.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to new charter school applications. Again, this is for information. I am just going to note that everything that we're doing needs to be part of the public record. All the documentation has been posted for CSAC's consideration. The link for that is available on our eBoard site. And again, just as a reminder, I know you guys are going to get tired of hearing this, anything that we make our decision on needs to be on the record that comes before us. So to the extent that you have questions, information that you want to get on the record, you need to make sure that you are asking it now so that it goes our CSAC representative, who will be Audrey or Vince on the two schools that are currently in front of us, that it is able to become part of that record. So just as a reminder for new school applications, the approval criteria that can be considered in our decision is outlined in state code and regulation. So this is, I don't know if you're going to pull it up on the screen, it was circulated to everyone. Ms. Honor and Ms. Jaros have pulled the most relevant sections of the laws. They are shared on eBoard. So I just want to make sure that it's very clear as to how we make our decision. In terms of the timeline, over the next 2 months, February 28th, schools will provide additional documentation and follow-up to the initial CSAC report. March 17th is our state board meeting. And if the board would like to place impact conditions on the school, and again, there's very clear language around impact, the board must decide and vote on this at our March meeting. So by state law, impact cannot be the sole basis for disapproval of an application for a new charter application or an expansion, but it can be considered in conjunction with the factors in Title 14, Section 512. Again, this has all been outlined. It's all available on an eBoard. More information on how impact may be considered in our decision-making is available on eBoard. And any discussion or action related to impact is going to be communicated with CSAC following our March meeting. And you guys may all recall Bryan Stevenson School last year. There was a lot of question around that. That meeting, we followed up with a letter asking for some clarification on some things that were raising, I guess, that we needed more information on is the best way to say it. So to the extent we have concerns from an impact perspective, we will then follow up with CSAC. So late March, so it's the 24th for Stevenson, the 29th for Freire. CSAC will meet, they discuss the final questions with the school, and then they make a recommendation providing or regarding approval or disapproval, and then if any conditions should be placed on that. Public comment will be accepted through April 11th. April 21st is the secretary's decision and action by the State Board of Education. So we have two representatives, Dr. Lofink, wait a minute.
Dr. Lofink.
Yes. Yeah. Congratulations.
Dr. Lovey.
Yeah.
I love it.
It'll look good in my obituary.
Oh, no, it looks good. Congratulations. And Dr. Noble, for their willingness to participate in CSAC's process for the Brian Allen Stevenson School and Frary Charter School. So I'm going to open it up to our two doctors in the room. Just for any comments, and you know, whichever, I know we had public hearings this week on both of these schools. But before we kind of touch about that, any comments that you want to make on the process to date?
Yeah, Madam President, Vince Lofink, I just wanted to make a comment that I tried to make at our last meeting, and I didn't really wasn't seem to be able to articulate it appropriately. So I want to try to make that comment now. At our January meeting, I made the point that in my 3.5 years on the State Board of Education, a new charter school application has never come before the state board. We have not considered in a voting capacity, in a affirming capacity, a new charter school application. And of course, we might have gotten that opportunity last year with the Brian Stevenson School, but Stevenson leadership chose to table their application. I believe that this decision was encouraged by the discussion of the state board members and also the CSAC meeting. So I thought that went very well. And that my sense is that's probably a good thing because they've probably, Stevenson has probably submitted a stronger application as a result of those meetings. So as a state board member, when it comes to these major decisions, I just want to urge caution. Over the past 10 years, we have seen the closure of many charter schools, including Pancator, Moyer, Reach, the Delaware Met, Delaware College Prep, Prestige, DAPS, which was DAPS and the Design Thinking Academy were kicking the butts also because we had just voted of major modifications, and within that calendar year, they both had terminated their charter and they had failed, so to speak. And I also view that as, in a sense, our failure, because, or as failure of the state board, because not in our tenure, any of us, but we voted forward with it for a charter to go forward, and it ultimately failed. I mean, it might be maybe a little over the top with that. One of the things that bothers me as a board member is I voted to approve those two major modifications, and then those schools failed. None of the board members here present have ever voted on a new application. So let me just say I want to urge caution as we move forward and to continue to pay attention to these conversations. And of course, let me say there are charters that continue to be extremely successful and provide great choices, you know, for our families. However, our failures raise questions of how the process has worked in the past and if the necessary changes have been made to the process as we move forward and make further decisions. Let me repeat that once again, that there are tremendous successes in our charter community and they provide great choices for our families. I see it as our responsibility to ask the hard questions and to inform the record that will ultimately inform Secretary's decision and the board's vote on the final recommendation that you make, Mark. And I think now one more thing I keyed in with some of Reverend Powell's remarks. The charter school process, and this doesn't go to any specific application. Last month, we had a very good presentation, great presentation by Chief Equity Officer Jim Simmons on the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. And based on that, I'd like to see the equity office involved with the charter school application processes and the major modification processes. Now, I know that I'm sure that CSAC considers equity all along the way. I didn't know whether the equity office was actively engaged or involved with CSAC. So thank you. That's it, Madam President, and I'll be good now. Thank you.
Well, you're always good. Thank you. No, those are great comments. I mean, I think I'm going to echo a little bit of what you said, because one of the very first things that we did as a board was have, we're relatively new board, we're not as new anymore, but when many of us were new members, one of the first things that came in front of us was a school that closed, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 weeks into the school year. And then all of those kids had to find new schools. Like, that is something that I don't think anybody wants to ever have to see. I mean, that's just from a family perspective. I can't even imagine what those families scrambled to deal with. So we need to do our job by asking questions so that we don't end up with that situation. So I agree with you about asking questions. That's what we're here for. Are there any other questions or comments? I mean, there's a lot of information out there already. I will say, well, you know what? Actually, I don't want to cut in because I know Dr. Noble, if you wanted to talk about Freire, because I know Dr. Lofink or Vince did is doing BASS and you did Freire. So is there anything that you want to talk about?
Is there anything else you want to say about BASS in particular?
Not at this time.
No. Okay. All right.
And actually, can I just say, Vince, I want to clarify, your comments are not specific to a charter school. You were just saying broadly. Yep. Okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
The processes that we use to carry out to approve new charters and major modifications.
I just wanted to make sure that was clear for anybody that was listening. Yeah. Yep. Not specific to BASS. Yep. Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Noble.
Yeah. And I would concur with you. I think it's a complex process. And I think, I think the charter school office and CSAC over the last, because I've been involved with it since I've been on the board, has changed and, right. and made some, improvements that changed the framework, the financial framework. But it's still, it's a difficult decision and it's a lot of information for any of the CSAC members to go through and any of the board members mm-hmm. to review. It's a lot of information on each one of these schools. It's not an easy task. So I want to concur with you. I think, looking at the process constantly and trying to see, are we doing the best we can in this decision-making process? Are the right people at the table in this decision-making right. process? It's not an easy job. So let me talk a little bit about the issues with Freire. I'd just like to highlight some things that came out of last night's public hearing. And I want to encourage the board members, when the transcript comes out from these public hearings, I really encourage you to read them so you get a sense of what the public is saying in support and, and not in support of these schools. There was a large group of Freire board members and staff, as well as some parents and students at last night's charter school hearing. And they spoke about the strengths of Freire as a college prep program, the importance of choice. There are many people, emphasize the importance of having a choice. And I think the one theme that I heard pretty strongly from many of the people was how they valued the small community that Freire creates, that students feel like they know their teachers and teachers know the students. And I actually think that's a symptom of being a small school. I worked in a small school. I worked in a small school in Pennsylvania for 11 years. And we had the same situation. So I think size is a critical issue that we need to be thinking about, talking about when we're talking about trying to improve high schools. There's lots of research on the importance of small and what small high schools can do. And I heard that clearly coming through from the parents and students last night. They talked about a strong, caring staff. They talked about a strong college counseling program and the culture of being a family. So there were a lot of positive comments that came through. Those people who were speaking against the Freire last night were talking about, they wanted to clarify that they remain in favor of choice and that but they felt that there were already many choices of schools in New Castle County, including many schools that had good, strong college preparatory programs. All of the people that were questioning Freire at this point also said that they were strongly in support of the Wilmington Learning Collaborative and had concerns about the ripple effects of creating another school and the dynamics of that and what the Wilmington Learning Collaborative is trying to accomplish right now. There were some proposals about putting forward a moratorium for basically two reasons. One was they were concerned that it was introducing more financial instability into the county school system and increasing the numbers of schools, both traditional schools and charter schools, that are under capacity. We have many schools in New Castle County that are already under capacity, so they brought that point forward. And they weren't just talking about traditional schools. They were also talking about there's charter schools that are, you know, under capacity. And I think one of the strongest points that I heard was that they said that the focus needs to be on providing quality choices for all students, that this is an issue of equity and that all students should have a quality education. There was a couple statements urging the state, and I know this is beyond the scope of the actual focus on free area, but I think this is an important point. It's one that we brought up at the last meeting about the state needs to take a serious look at how, and this is a quotation, how student services, educators, and education dollars, all finite resources, need to be allocated in order to improve educational outcomes for all kids in New Castle County. So that was, it was an interesting meeting, and I just want to encourage everybody to read the transcript when it comes out, because I find that public comments, you know, when people show up, they have really interesting things to say. That, you know, we often have these hearings and nobody shows up, or they're just, you know, a couple people that are kind of there cheerleading. But, you know, exactly. When you get people that have seriously thought about it, they have some serious thoughts about it and things worth listening to. I was impressed with many of the students that talked last night. You know, they were powerful and impressive. The other thing is, and we're at a point where it's really important that I receive other questions or concerns from the board so that I can bring them forward to CSAC. And in regards to that, I'd just like to speak to a couple things. And it gets back to what Whitney was talking about earlier. The questions that we put forward, it's important that they reflect Delaware code so that they can be part of the record and be considered. Jenna, can you pull up the criteria? So basically there are specific approval criteria that, and I just want to point out two particular things to you, because I know we have a lot of documentation to look at. But in Title 14, Chapter 5, Section 512, Part 6, there you are. It says, this is part of the approval criteria, that the school's educational program, including curriculum and instructional strategies, has the potential to improve student performance and must be aligned with and meet the Delaware content standards and the state program requirements. Well, you know, when I was reading that, I thought, well, how do we determine that, how they have potential to improve? What does that mean? So I dug a little further, and if you look at Delaware Code 14, Chapter 275, which is the charter school chapter, 4.3.2, this actually provides a definition on how potential to improve student performance is defined. And it says you can define potential to improve student performance by academically independent studies by organizations that don't have a financial interest in the school. Prior successful implementation of the program. So we know that the free area school has already been open for quite a few years in Wilmington. So, you know, our determination then looks at, was that a successful implementation? Do we consider that a successful implementation there? And the third thing, really, probably we don't have data on, deals with professionally accepted models. So what I would like to say is that to try to kind of give you some guidance about what we need to look at, is that the charter school applicants have already referred to and included data in their application about how the Riera Charter School Wilmington students have performed, specifically on growth measures. And they assert that the program is successful because of the data they're putting forward. And they reference this specifically in the application in section 1.2, where they say that there have been major staff and student initiatives that have led to exceptional growth on DSSF growth scores, SAT proficiency, and STAR benchmarking results. And then they also, if you look at the initial, and I encourage you to look at this because it's the other place where they show data, in the initial CSAC report that has been released from the February 9th meeting, the applicants also posted their materials with an extensive presentation of data from the Free Area School in Wilmington. So they're basically saying they're going to, even though they don't use the word, but they're trying to replicate with some revisions the successes they've had in Freer and Wilmington. So under the code, we're able to look at that because it's prior performance. So in that regard, I have two requests so that we have information on the record that can help in our decisions. Following chapter 275, section 4 from 3.2, and its definition of improving student performance, and so that our board can develop a more in-depth understanding of the school's prior implementation successes and failures. And its performance reflected in the DSSF, the SAT proficiency, and any other indicators that are cited in their application. They cite other indicators in their application like graduation rates, quality of college prep program, and a variety of other things. I would like to ask that Jenna, and I'd be more than willing to assist in this, gather data from DOE from student and school performance records that we can discuss at our next meeting that specifically relate to those particular things that are referred to in their application. Secondly, I'd also like to ask that we try to gather any data related to chapter 275, section 4.3.2.1 of any academically independent studies of Freire, so we can take a look at, because there are national studies that compare high school achievement and compare the success of college prep programs. So we can enter that into the record so we can look at, is this a successful implementation that we want to replicate and open another school based on? So I'd like to make those two requests and that we take a look at that data. And please, any of you have any other questions, please forward them to me. Just as Vince said, this is a very important thing, opening a new school, and we haven't done it before. But like, make sure we get it right. Okay.
No, I think that's great. And I'm gonna open it up to the rest of the board before I say a lot, but I'm gonna say two things. The first is, I think, and Vince kind of touched on this, is that I think that there is a better application for BAS coming in front of us now than there was last year. And I would like to think that it was because we asked some questions and CSAC asked some questions, and that dialogue, that process, which is CSAC, ended up having a school that has a better likelihood of being successful.
And I'd like to say, I think the charter school office gave them much more support over the last year and reworking that application.
Right.
So charter school. So thank you for clarifying, not just CSAC, mm-hmm. but I think that's what, you know, that's what the ideal process is that, and I do think that, you know, Vince laid out a lot of schools that didn't fail, and charter school office has done a lot of work to make a more rigorous application process so you don't end up having those failures. I think they've been really successful in doing that. But asking these questions now, while they might be hard questions, means that you have a better application and a chance for success. So, you know, that's what this process is. And we as board members have an obligation to do that. So thank you, Audrey. The second thing that I'm going to say is these are all virtual public hearings. They are really easy to listen. I know we have officially someone who is representing us at each one. We do get the transcripts and they're fantastic. It's really nice to hear them. I logged in and I was able to listen to both of them this week as well. The people are really passionate. I will say, I mean, we had a much greater attendance on at Freire than we did at BAS, but people are passionate about what they like. And then, you know, to some degree on the Freire side, they were also passionate about why potentially they were not as keen to move this school forward at this point in time, given some other considerations. But I do encourage board members to absolutely read the transcripts because it is a part of the public record and it's important for us in making our decision or whether or not we assent to the secretary's decision. But I also would urge anyone, because they are virtual and you can just log in and listen, that it is definitely worth our time to be doing that. So my little plug for that. And I'm gonna open it up to the floor again. I do have a couple questions, but I wanna make sure that every board member gets a chance to do so before I do. Okay, I'm gonna take that silence as we don't have any further questions. I'm actually just gonna raise a couple, and And I know this was addressed. It was one of the questions that was at the, I guess, one of the first CSAC meeting, I should say, which is around why it was not done as a major modification and a new application. I personally, and I understand the reason, I think it's logical. My biggest concern, and this gets back to kind of what Audrey is, I think, trying to get to, is that my initial read of some of the performance data is that some of those numbers, the proficiency rates, I would personally like to see higher. I'm sure everyone would. When you look at some of the data, and I think this is what Audrey is trying to get to, is understanding understanding what they're actually doing from a proficiency rate. Are they achieving what they set out to do? And I did hear on the public hearing comment last night, and it's also in some of the documents, that they are getting kids who are behind. So just comparing kids on kind of an absolute basis without any kind of understanding that they came to the school behind and now they're playing catch up, I think is valid. But I'd like to get a little bit of a deeper dive into understanding exactly how successful are they. Because if I was just looking at it as a major modification, it would probably have some conditions on it. And again, I haven't, you know, there's another CSAC meeting. We've got to get a lot more data to really understand it. But that, to me, I question that. So I do appreciate their answer. But I'd really like to make sure that they are giving children something truly different that they're not getting elsewhere. And so that's why I'd like to see what some of the trend data looks like. I was also surprised to see that how many of the kids actually aren't coming from the city of Wilmington. So I'd love to get additional breakdowns of some of these success rates, so growth rates, and then just absolute performance, proficiency rates, broken down to greater levels of granularity in terms of looking at some of those specific categories that they are targeting in terms of low income, special education, and foreign learners. If we can get that specific to understanding what the growth and absolute performance levels are in terms of meeting that proposed student demographic. So that's one thing that I'd like to see. And then I noticed the growth rates at some point in time, the growth rates were off of very, very low numbers of kids. So I realize it's a small school, but they're not statistically significant. And when you have a sample size of, say, you know, 10 or 15, and you add one or two kids, or, you know, it's a much bigger growth rate on a small number. So I would just like to see if we could see what the growth rates are on larger populations. And if not that, then I'd like an explanation as to why some of those cohorts are so small.
Thank you for that. I know one of the challenges we're going to have is one of the things that Chantel pointed out tonight is that the data are not great, especially the most current data. So I think in all fairness, we're probably going to need to go back and look at data pre-pandemic as much as we can to do any of these kind of comparisons that we're asking for, disaggregations. So we'll definitely try to do that. Because, you know, everybody's data look bad. I mean, we're making, you know, we're telling the Department of Education we want to put a hold on things because our data is not there. Every state has
no,
that.
It isn't. And I just want more information. I mean, that's all. I mean, people are clearly passionate about both sides. I mean, the kids were passionate. You know, they're going to college. I think that's great. There is a discrepancy between the kids that are going to college versus the kids that apparently are college ready. That's a pretty big discrepancy. So I just feel like we need to do, in order to be truly doing our job, we need to just have more information. And then, you know, we can kind of move that forward. The other piece that I'd really like to see is making sure that we're looking at the same population. So to the extent that we're, you know, kids that would be the schools that they would otherwise have gone to, are they doing better in Freire versus the school they would have been in?
Yeah. So that's an interesting dissertation. I think maybe I'll get something.
I'm sorry. I have a lot of questions, but like some of the proficiency rates are pretty low.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
And I just want to make sure that we're not opening something that isn't doing what they say they're going to do. I mean, the kids, the people that spoke yesterday firmly believe that they are, but you know, I think we have an obligation to look at that.
Yeah, I think the comparability issue is an important one. And you know, comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges when we can't. So anybody else right now? Please communicate with me and Vince with any other questions, because this is important. I just have one general question for Kim. Are you still there?
Is Kim there?
Yeah. Could you tell me, are the comments that are received, the written comments received by the charter school office, are they updated regularly for access? Because I've been like periodically checking and I haven't seen any change in what's on there for like at least over a week or two.
Yes, I believe all the comments are updated. I think they just did an update at the end of the day today. My understanding is that we shoot to have them publicly available within 24 hours of receipt.
Okay. All right. Could you just double check on that for me? I appreciate it. Because I've had a couple people, somebody ran into me in the Wawa the other day. I had a comment about bass, and I haven't seen it anywhere. So I just, because I've been encouraging when I, you know, talk to people or people bring up issues, we just, you know, or we get emails, we just say, put it on the website, you know, enter them. It doesn't mean they necessarily do, but.
Right. Yeah, we did check. Jenna had sent us an email just before the meeting began tonight, and my team did confirm that everything we've received is available on the website.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Any other further questions or comments that you want to make sure that Audrey takes back to CSAC to get on the record?
Madam Chairman, Mrs. Reverend Powell, I wanted to ask, I guess, a question for my own edification. It surrounds, and if this is not the appropriate time, let me know. But it impacts some of the conversation that we're having around the use of impact and determining a new charter and or modification, major modification. And so with the Christina School Board advancing a proposed legislation to place a temporary moratorium or restriction, if you would, on any new charters and major modifications in Newcastle County. And I attended, I think last evening or a couple evenings ago, the Friends of Christina, there was a discussion. And just to kind of listen in to hear the various perspectives on supporting or not supporting that, how are, I guess we, my understanding that impact alone cannot be used as a determinant to approve or disapprove. And I'm just asking for the question, but I think the spirit of the legislation is that the Wilmington Collaborative can kind of get their partners together in the MOUs and, you know, get together and not be further impacted adversely until such time is that. So I'm listening to the conversation tonight, and I know some of these schools are would be impacted with that particular piece of legislation. So I don't know if this is the time to have that conversation. I don't know how that would enter into the CSAC conversation, but I would like to know how that proposed legislation would impact our decision on an approval or major modification.
And I'm gonna answer that, and then to the extent that I don't get something right, Carla is gonna jump in on top of me and tell me if I don't. But okay, so at first I'm gonna say that everything you just outlined was very clearly articulated on both sides last night. from, and I'm not going to speak for them because their words are going to be, you know, transcribed for you, but there are very clear views on whether charter schools should have the ability to move forward without waiting for the moratorium. And I think this is pretty public, all of these comments that have been made before they made them last night. And then those that feel very strongly that there should be a moratorium. At this point in time, we are very clear from our legislative responsibility that, and code, that one, we can't consider impact in isolation, but it can be considered alongside of some of the other decisions. And I would say that we should, as a board, we can request information from the Department of Education regarding impact on the surrounding districts. So if that is not officially an ask, we should make that an ask. Audrey and Vince, if you could note that, please. And it actually affects both. I think the city of Wilmington, because of the Wilmington Collaborative right now, is obviously a greater debate. But until there is legislation that puts a moratorium in place, they can continue to move forward. There might be a change, but for now, there is a charter school in front of us that is seeking an application. Carla, is there anything you'd add to that?
No, that's very clear. Legislation doesn't become effective until it's effective. So we can continue what we have in front of us.
I mean, there may be a dialogue that happens between now and when this gets done. You know, there's obviously enormous vested interest in doing something to have better outcomes in these impacted districts. I think that's very clear on everybody's side. I mean, everybody wants something better. The problem is that what that better is might not be the same, you know, depending on where you sit. But I think that there's going to be a lot more dialogue on this going forward. You know, Secretary Holodeck or Mark could speak to that. But in terms of what are we doing right now, we're considering the application in front of us. But I would absolutely say listen to or read. Read the transcript, because there are some very, very, very good comments that were presented, very articulate, thoughtful comments.
I think the point was just made, but I want to make sure that it's clear that what you're hearing is a legislative priority being put forward by the Christina School District. There is not actually draft or legislation that has been introduced at this point in time calling for a moratorium. So I will keep you updated if I hear of anything coming out, but as of right now, there is no legislation that has been introduced.
Right.
Thank you for clarifying that.
And along with the Christina School Board, I know the Delaware NAACP also put out a position statement that Freeman Williams talked to last night during the hearing, requesting a moratorium. Or at least a stay of action until the work related to the Wilmington Collaborative gets sorted out. The other thing, we already did submit a request to the Department of Education, both Vince and myself, for impact data. And we're expecting a report back on a variety of different indicators by March 4th. So we'll have that in time to share with the board before our next meeting, so that we can at least have some more concrete data in regard to that beyond just individual testimony. So that has been requested already.
Now, very good question, Reverend Powell, actually, because clearly there's enormous interest and desire to have better outcomes for everyone. As I said, they might differ on what the path to that outcome is. Any other questions or comments that we want to make sure get back via our representatives to CSAC? And Jenna, correct me if I'm wrong, there's another public hearing. There will be, right? There's two sets of public hearings, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so if I'm going to make another pitch for that, I think they're really valuable to listen to. And it's okay for us to have multiple people on there because we are listeners. We are not acting. So we do not create a quorum if we're on it. And again, Carla will correct me if I got that wrong, but that's my understanding.
Very simply, yes. As long as you're just sitting on the Zoom meeting listening and not discussing or acting on public business, you are not a meeting of the State Board of Education. Yes.
Yeah. But they are valuable to hear people. So I'm going to leave that there. Is there anything else on these two new charters applications?
Tim, they just brought up a point about the second hearing. How is it determined whether the second hearing is necessary or not?
Kim?
She's still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry.
So, Dr. Noble, I believe that we always hold the second hearing. I'm not sure that I'll have to go back and take a look at that around the actual language, but I'm not aware of a situation where we've not held the second hearing. But I can certainly look into that and get back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I think there have been some that we haven't had the second hearing on. I might know more about
that. For major modifications, if there are no conditions placed by CSAC, then there is not a second hearing that is held. I don't know the answer about what happens
for a new application.
Right. I think for new applications, but we'll certainly just confirm it and circle back.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay. Is there anything else in the new applications or can we move to the major modifications? Okay, I'm going to take that silence as a no. I am, however, going to say if anyone has questions that they think of between now and the next CSAC, please make sure that you send them. You can just send them directly to Jenna and she will make sure they go to Vince or to Audrey, to Dr. Lofink and Dr. Noble. I'm going to say that for a little while, Vince. Okay, so now, as we discussed last month, we do have two major modification applications. Again, documentation posted for CSAC's consideration. The link is available via our eBoard site. Similar to new schools, we make our decision on the record that comes before us. So just as we just did for the last conversation, any questions need to be sent to our board representatives to address during CSAC. And to be clear, impact cannot be considered for these major modifications. In terms of the timeline, February 24th, CSAC holds initial meeting on the application. March 22nd is academia. March 29th is ESAT, Eastside. CSAC will hold their final meeting, make a recommendation. Public comment will be received through April 11th with the secretary's decision and action by the state board on April 21st. Dr. Lofink is participating on CSYNC or CSAC. So Dr. Lofink, did you have anything that you wanted to share with respect to the process to date?
No, I just think that we should continue to pay attention. I think there's one possible thing to note is that, and this would probably come up at our first hearing, is that it's Alonzo Academia would be their location, the lease. I think that has been something that has held up major modifications before. And I'm not aware of, and I may be wrong on this, I'm not aware of a stated relocation for academia or where that would be. And so if you don't,
it's in the application. It's on Chapman Road.
Okay.
Yeah. 276.
Okay. Got it. You're correct. Okay. So we would need to then by the time.
But they did say there was a statement that it could change.
Okay.
So I don't know if they have.
Right. And that, you told me that before. Thank you. And that kind of held us up on another major modification before was the lack of a lease. And that was a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be the only thing that red flag I would have at this moment.
No, I think that's a great point. Actually, I'm glad you shared that because that also was a problem with BAS was not full confirmation as to where the location would be, which of course impacts the financial framework. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Anything else or questions that we want to make sure get directed to Vince as we move this forward.
Madam President, I want to thank Dr. Noble for recalling that location. It was right now with the right past me, and you had mentioned that before. So thank you for bailing me out again.
No, thank you. Okay, so if there are no additional questions or comments at this time, we're actually going to move forward to public comment on charter schools. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on charter schools. Opportunity to sign up for public comment on regulations or on charter schools was available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not sign up and plan to provide public comment on charter school and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you are only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. And again, just a note, the board does not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the meeting. Jenna, do we have anybody in the room that is signed up or online?
We do. Before we move into public comment, though, I just do want to clarify that we heard from the charter office and the second hearings are required for new school applications.
Right. Oh, good.
For major modifications, if there are no conditions, usually there is not a second hearing, but for new applications, there will be a second, and those are scheduled for April.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you for clarifying that. And I will note, you just said we do have one person. I am just going to make sure that there is a note that in order for the board to consider the public comment as part of the record regarding charter schools, the comment must also be submitted in writing. And Jenna, if you wouldn't mind putting it up, I don't know if you can put it in the chat box, but what the email address is, or you could go to a public hearing as well. So just two options. You can submit it in writing, and Jenna, I think, is going to put it in the chat box, or you can do it at the next public hearing if you haven't had a chance to do it. But I just want to make sure that someone's aware of that.
Yeah.
So do we have some? Okay,
I'll
great.
Put that information in the chat box, and we actually have two people signed up for comment. So we'll start with Ms. Jen Sinelli.
Okay, and I would like to clarify that if you are part of an organization, there are 3 minutes. If you're an individual, it is 2 minutes. And when you get started, there's a timer up on the screen. I think it's probably in the room too, although I can't really see the room that well on my screen. And so we just ask that you respect the time frame. And what we'll do is start the timer when you start talking. And if you could give your name and then state the organization if you are representing one.
Thank you for allowing me to provide comments. My name is Jen Sinelli, and I'm a parent of a child with autism and a special education volunteer. While I live in Sussex County, I support families across the state with IEP meeting assistance, and I've worked with legislators to get legislation passed to help not only special ed students, but at-risk children as well. First and foremost, I do not object to charter schools and feel that under a limited construct, they can be very beneficial. However, what has happened in Delaware is a bleeding of our public school system resources in order to create charters that are glorified private schools being funded with public funds. To explain why I hold this view, I only need to point to Sussex Montessori, which is a Catholic church-based teaching method that is now a charter. Most experienced parents of special ed students have with charter schools is at best not good and at worst horrific. This is not equity, this is preference, and it's feeding privilege. We as a state need to turn our focus back to our public school systems and make them better for all of our students. I agree with Dr. Noble, smaller is better, and reducing student counts will make our schools so much more effective. If COVID taught us anything, is that traditional schools are failing at every level. Our teachers and staff are superheroes who have been stepping up and giving 200% or more on a daily basis. Please consider this when making future decisions. It's time to pause the charter approvals. I would ask the board consider requesting this of our legislators. We need to and have to do better. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your comments. Jenna, you said we have one other person that has signed up?
Yes, Kendall Massett.
Okay, great. Can we clear, and Kendall, I'm assuming that you're representing Delaware Charter School Network. So we'll do 3 minutes. We will start the clock when you start.
Thanks. I did not hear anything you just said, Whitney. So,
I'm sorry. you're representing Delaware Charter School Network, so you have 3 minutes. Yeah. And if you can just state your name and the organization that you're representing.
Thank you.
And we'll start the clock when you start, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening. Kendall Massett, Executive Director for the Delaware Charter Schools Network. before I give my broader comments, I just wanted to say how proud I am and how proud our whole charter community is of Shelby Ferris. I love that she is having her voice heard and that she is taking this responsibility so seriously. So Shelby, way to go. We are so excited that you're there. Also, I hope that all of you have a chance to watch the video and hear from our teachers and why they love working in our charter schools. I did send our love letter to Whitney and Jenna, and hopefully they have shared with you. Last night, we heard from students and parents about the amazing positive impact on the lives of the students and families that Freire has provided. I was also very proud that they came out to speak and have their voice heard. Now, I did, to some of your comments, want to make, of course, my own. The premise of our charter schools, our public schools that are charters, is that they have autonomy and flexibility for accountability. Nobody wants what happened with DAPS or any of our schools that have closed to happen, but you cannot make decisions on authorization because you're scared that a school may close. Yes, you absolutely should ask questions and hard questions. That is your responsibility. But please understand that sometimes charters don't work. And if they are not doing what they promised, they should close. And we should all want any school, not just our charters, to close if they are not doing well. On the finite resources piece, I agree. We do have finite resources. But we know that the Christina School District has an opportunity to consolidate buildings and cut expenses that could be used for staff and students. And Freire, as well as other charters, have asked them if they would be willing to lease some of their space. They've said no. We should be asking why not. And finally, to the Wilmington Learning Collaborative and the charter moratorium. I've said this before, so hopefully it won't be new, but we firmly believe that there is no single solution to the decades-long issue of an education system that has not met the needs of all students. Charter schools are one part of the solution, as is the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. We stand ready to support and be part of the solution with the Wilmington Learning Collaborative, but just putting a moratorium on charter schools and stopping a solution that is working is not the way to do it. That's all I have for this evening. Thank you for doing what you do. I appreciate that, and all of you.
Great, thank you very much, Kendall. We appreciate your comments. Jenna, do we have anyone else that has signed up?
No, we do not.
Okay, okay, great. More to come on charter school.